Martha Inman. And many of you know Martha. She went to your mom's, mom's in prayer, and also didn't she come to your Monday night thing? She was going full steam up until a few weeks ago, and I think her picture's up there. You may remember Martha. She came several times to visit with us. Martha was a dear friend of Karen's and several other of you ladies in church here. But she had a unique story, and I have shared it before. It's been quite some time since I shared it, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but some of you don't know the story. And I do want to touch on it just so you have a greater appreciation for what the Lord's done in Martha's life. We got to know them when we first came up to Spruce Pine about, it's getting going on, I think, our 13th year up here. And we got to know her husband, Joe, who has also since passed on, and at the sporting events, and that led to meeting Martha. And her and Karen would have tea together several nights a week. It was just, they lived fairly close to us, and Karen would run up and have tea with her, and had just a great relationship. Martha has two daughters who both live out of town, and so Karen was kind of her local daughter here, so they enjoyed each other's company. But about, I think it was about 8 years ago, Martha got sick, and Martha went into the hospital, and she had all sorts of problems. I mean, just about every health problem you could have, Martha had it. She had circulation problems. She had cancer problems, all sorts of other internal problems. And she got really sick, and she went into the hospital, and they thought she was going to die. And it became, I think they gave her, at one point, they had her down to like 2 hours left to live. So they had called all the family in and all her friends. Martha attended First Baptist Church mainly. So a lot of her friends from First Baptist Church were there, and her family. And we got the word at the last minute that she has very little time to live. If you want to see her, go down and see her. So Karen and I went down to the hospital. And we walked in the room, and it was, 20 or 25 people in this room. And there was lots of tears being shed and sad goodbyes. And here's Martha in the bed, and she's all hooked up to breathing apparatus and all sorts of things. And she saw me come in the room, and she motioned for me to come over to her. And I did, and she had this cup over her mouth, so she really couldn't talk that well. And she would have to lift it off when she wanted to say something and then put it back on. And basically what she was telling me or asking me was to watch over her husband, Joe, and her two daughters. And I found out later that there's a little bit of friction between those relationships. And she was asking me to kind of keep things going smooth, since she would not be there to perform that function. And I told her I would do the best I could to do that. And as I was talking to Martha and looking at her, this strange thing happens. It's never happened before. It's never happened since. But I had this kind of a vision, I guess, is the best way to describe it. But I looked at her, and she looked very healthy. She looked, had kind of a glow about her. And I thought, that's strange. She's 2 hours to live, and yet here she is, and she looks healthy. And in my mind, I was trying to process, what does this mean? What am I seeing, and what does it mean? So I stepped back. Other people had to say their goodbyes. But every time I glanced over at Martha, I saw this glow about her. And I saw this look about her that looked healthy. And I asked one of her two daughters, who was a nurse there, I said, exactly what is wrong with Martha? And she went through the list. She said, well, her kidneys have shut down. Her liver has shut down. All that's really functioning in her right now is her heart and her brain and her lungs. And they have turned off hydration. They've turned off food. And it's just a matter of time before she passes on. And I said, that's strange to me, because I look at her and she looks alive, meaning like there's nothing wrong with her. Oh, no, there's lots wrong with her. I said, okay. So But the people would talk, I'd keep looking at Martha, and I kept getting this feeling, and it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And finally I said, I got to talk to the doctor. So Karen and I and Jo Ellen, one of her, the nurse daughter, went to talk to the doctor. I said, would you please tell me what's wrong with Martha? And he said the same thing that her daughter did. And I told the doctor, I said, you know, doc, I look at her, and I don't know how to describe this, but I see life. I don't see death. I don't see an approaching death. I see a vibrancy in her. And he kind of patted me on the shoulder, and he says, well, you're a preacher, right? I said, yes. And he says, well, you just keep on preaching, and you let me do the doctor. And he says, I know what I'm talking about. She has very little time left. And I said, okay, all right, I'm not trying to play doctor. I'm just telling you what I see. So I thought, it's me. There's something wrong with, I'm the oddball in the room, okay? There must be something wrong with what I'm seeing. Maybe I'm looking through rose-colored glasses and I'm seeing something that I want to see that's not really there. And so I kind of dismissed it. And then I walked back into the room and I looked at her again and boom, I saw it again, even brighter than before. And I said, that's it. I can't take this anymore. So I kind of made an announcement in the room. And I said to all her friends and family, I said, look, Karen and I are leaving. We're going to go have lunch or whatever it was. I said, we're not coming back. And the reason we're not coming back is, I said, she's going to be fine. She's not going to die. And you could kind of hear the groan go throughout the room like, what are you talking about? You have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, all I can tell you is what I see, and I'm not saying this from a medical standpoint. I have no medical background at all, but I see life in her. I don't see death. And I said, you guys can stay here as long as you want, but you're going to be wasting your time. And I said to someone, I don't think I said this to everyone, but I said to someone there, a week from now, she's going to be back at home having tea with Karen. And people, you know, they like to hear that, but they didn't think I knew what I was talking about, and I didn't know if I knew what I was talking about either. But I left. We left. And the next day, we called back to see how she was doing, and she had made it through the night. Not only did she make it through 2 hours, she made it through the night. But they had cut off her hydration. And I said to her daughter, I said, she can't live if you don't give her water. I said, nobody can live without water. I said, turn the water back on. And at first, they were resistant to do that because they thought it would, since their stomach had shut down, it would just build up and she'd, you know, throw up or whatever. But throughout the day, they made the decision to turn the water back on. So she made it through the next day. And I called back, we called back the next day. How's Martha doing? Well, she made it through the night again. And I said, well, she can't live without food. Turn her food back on. And they said, okay. And they did it. Now, I don't know who made all these decisions, but we're talking with the daughter, and the daughter's a nurse, and she's talking to the doctor. So they made the decision. Well, to make a long story short, about 3 days later, they released Martha from the hospital. She was already out. The next day, she was out of intensive care. And 2 days later, they released her from the hospital. So Martha's getting ready to be released from the hospital. And the doctor comes in to do the final checkup or paperwork or whatever. And Martha takes the opportunity to thank him. Doctor, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for all your help and yada, yada, yada. And I really appreciate what you've done for me. And the doctor says to Martha, no, Martha, he says, I'm the one that should be thanking you. He was kind of a young doctor. And he said, I want you to know you're the first miracle I have ever personally observed as a doctor, and I need to thank you. So Martha left that hospital leaving an impression on the doctor that God can still perform miracles. But the story doesn't end there. Martha got a new lease on life, basically. And what she did with this last 8 years, among many other things, like I said, she's in the moms in prayer and other things. But I invited her one Sunday to go with me into the prison. And she went in with me. And for some reason, she just hit it off great with the prisoners. They just loved the fact that she would come in when I would come in, and all she would do is just sit in the front row. And when the service was over, the prisoners would, they would usually come up and they'd shake hands with me or say something, and then they would go to Martha. And there would be this big group of them huddled around her every single week. And she had her little notepad, and she was writing their names down and their prayer requests. And she was, you know, promising them that she would be praying for them. Well, this just turned into a great relationship. And I realized that those prisoners, those inmates in there, they needed a grandmother figure in their lives. They didn't have it. And she filled that need. And they would talk to her as if she were their grandmother. And she would, pray for them on a regular basis. After months and months of this, and she became a mainstay at the prison, we decided, as the whole group of us, I wrote up a petition for adoption. I found one. And I changed the words around a little, and it changed from the parents adopting a child, I changed it to grandparents, and I changed it to grandmother. So what it looked like on the petition, it looked like I, Martha Inman, as grandmother of the following people, do hereby petition the court for adoption, or blah, blah, blah. And we, at the undersigned, petitioned for Martha to become our grandmother. And then I had a place for all of them to sign. And there was about, at the time, there was about 75 signatures. So I took this to the prisoners first. They all signed it. And then the next time Martha came in, I had it framed and had them present it to Martha, officially declaring that she was their adopted grandmother. And that meant so much to both groups, to the prisoners and to Martha. And last I saw, she had it hanging up in her house.
It'll be at the funeral.
It will be at the funeral, okay. And by the way, the funeral is today at 2 o'clock at the First Baptist Church. But you can see the petition there if you go. But what a difference the last 8 years or so of her life made as she invested that into a newfound ministry that she didn't know was there before. But she discovered it late in life, and she told me that she felt during the last 8 years that she was more effective, more used by the Lord in those last 8 years than all of the time before. So here she is in her, what, 80s, I guess? 86. So she felt like in her 80s was the most efficient decade of her life. So there's hope for all of us as we continue to grow old that God can still use us. Who would have thought that she would have had such an impact on a rough group of guys in prison, but yet she did. So we miss Martha. She really gave it all she had for the Lord, and now she's celebrating with Jesus and looking forward, I'm sure, to seeing all of us at a later time and seeing her adopted grandchildren in heaven too. So that's, I wanted to, for those of you who didn't know the story behind Martha Inman, I wanted you to hear that. It's important to know it.